Turn to Acts chapter 1. This morning we want to talk about being intentional. We were going to make this a kickoff Sunday, but we won't kick too much off because I don't want to keep you too far beyond the noon hour. But I do want to say a few things. We've actually been doing intentional ministry since October with me personally. Does anyone remember what I preached on in October when I came to visit before you called me? Well, just look through your notes. You can do that. Just flip back a few pages. What did I preach on? Okay. You're warm. Thank you for that, because I have preached on Mary and Martha. The title of that sermon has something to do with For Such a Time as This. And when I came in October, we were looking at, the call and what you guys... And I intentionally had that sermon. In November, I came and shared another one, and I think that one had to do with burdens and Jesus bearing our burdens. Something like that. I don't have my notes either, so I'm not any better off. But we're intentionally involved here at First Baptist. And I want to put some minds at rest. You know, you hear strange rumors going around, and someone was panicked the other week, and they were so concerned that we've only got a year to get all this done, and we've already been through a full month here in January, and we don't feel like we've not done it yet. And they were concerned that you've got to get all this wrapped up in a period of 12 months, and boom, then that's all over. That's not the case. We're going to relax. You've heard me say that before. You relax, you step back, take a deep breath, and breathe easy. We're not on a timetable. We're going about an intentional intra-ministry here, but we're going to do it as God directs and leads, and we're going to enjoy one another, and we're going to have fun here if it kills us. Okay, we're going to allow Christ to just wash over us and do some very exciting things in the months to come. The intentional interim ministry is designed so that we do have certain tasks that we want to accomplish, especially during the first year, but that's not the end of my time here with you. That first year, I'm going to have a transition team that we'll be putting together in the next month or so. You're going to assist with that. We're going to be passing out some ballots. Well, they're not really ballots, they're pieces of paper where you will put down several names of folks who meet some qualifications that are spelled out in the newsletter for February, as well as on a handout that's in the back. When you leave, you can pick one up called Being Intentional, and it talks about the forming of the transition team and the steps we go to get that done. But you are very much involved in that as you begin to pray about people who would fill that position. And there are qualifications. We require that anybody that forms part of this transition team, first and foremost, has to be committed to the intentional interim process. This church voted 100% to do the intentional interim ministry. This church voted 100% to call me to assist you with that. So I already know that you're on board. So anyone forming that team has to be on board with us. There are some other things that, just common sense things. You have to be a spiritually mature person. You have to be a regular attendee of our worship times together. Otherwise, you don't know me or what's going on. We have some other things that are outlined in that paper in the back, as well as the newsletter that you'll be receiving. We're going to look at history, past, present, and future. We're going to look at who we are as a congregation, discover something about our personality, discover what God has given us a passion for, and discover where God is leading us. We're going to talk about conflict. We're going to talk about how God would have us handle those sorts of things. We're going to talk about being one in Jesus Christ. Even though we're a very diverse group, God works with diverse people all the time and has for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It's amazing how much He gets done using diverse people. We're going to be looking to the future. We're going to talk about leadership and leadership styles and decision making and just all kinds of things that come in. But all along the way, we're going to continue to do just what we've been doing for the past couple of months. And that is worshiping and serving and honoring and being obedient. And through much of this process, you won't even realize you're in a process. But we are. And it is very, very intentional. And I covet your prayers. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I confess that. And my education is extremely limited. I mean, I don't care what you study, you still missed a lot you didn't study. So I'll covet your prayers because I want to walk through this time with you. I want to go on this journey with you. And I want to see God at work. That's why we're here. That is why we came here, because we sensed that God was calling and leading here to work with First Baptist Church and to see firsthand and to experience the neat things that God is going to be doing in the months and years ahead. I'm excited about that. And it's already been a blessing. It's been a blessing for me and Barbara both to come and to get to know you. I love visiting with you. I've been in many of your homes, and just fantastic. And as I always share with folks, I eat most every day, so feel free to invite me to come eat. Most every day I'll do that. By the way, a selfish motive here. See, I told you I'm not perfect. I have many flaws. Let me be selfish. Barbara runs home this week to see the grandkids. So Monday to Friday, she's back in Virginia playing with those stinky little kids. Don't know why she wants to do it. I cannot understand that. But she's going to do that. And I'm domestically challenged. Okay? Again, I confess. I'm not proud. I will confess my shortcomings. I'm domestically challenged. I have trouble boiling water. And that is no joke. I'll give a testimony about that someday. I have trouble with that kind of thing. And so all this week, you can put your hand down. All this week, I'm going to be just wasting away at home. I'm going to have to fend for myself, and I'm going to be struggling and suffering, so I need your prayers. I need your prayers. This past Wednesday night, and it just keeps coming, I'm just put upon and I'm abused so badly. This past Wednesday evening, we went into the prayer time there around the tables there for our buffet meal, sat down, and Barbara and I sat down on purpose at a table all by ourselves. It was a test. I've been here for almost 2 months. I wanted to see if there was still that love and that all of that neat stuff. And do you know what? No one came and sat at our table. No one. They sat at all the other tables, and Barbara and I were there all by ourselves. And a tear began to form in my eye. And I could feel that warm tear start to run down my cheek because I was so abused and put upon. So you pray for me this week as I'm wasting away at home. Probably won't have anything other than a bowl of cereal from time to time. Bless my heart. Acts chapter 1. You follow along in your Bible. We're going to read from verse 3 through verse 9. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Heavenly Father, may this holy word reach deep into our hearts once again. Teach us and strengthen us. May we be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we think about intentionality, when we think about an intentional interim ministry, you know, I believe that this is a great example of being intentional. Jesus Christ began the greatest intentional interim ministry ever, and we're still in that ministry right now. This is an intentional interim that we're experiencing until Jesus comes again. We're in that period. And he had a plan, he had a purpose in all of this, and that's what intentional ministry is all about. It looks at the needs that are there, it examines the resources, it looks at the great diversity that is there, and then all of that is brought together in order to accomplish God's purposes, and that's what we're doing in an intentional interim ministry. I love this passage. There's another sermon that I'll share with you later on. I don't think I can do both of them today. But a little later on, we'll use the same scripture and go into it. But it just amazes me because here we have Jesus. This is 40 days after his resurrection. Jesus has been continuing to do a marvelous ministry and signs and wonders all about. And now we're approaching the end of that time, and he's preparing to ascend up into heaven to be with his heavenly Father there. And he gathers this hodgepodge of men and women, this great diverse group. He gathers them together, and he has some instructions for them before he leaves. The Bible says that after his suffering, after his crucifixion, after that passion, and then after his resurrection, that he showed himself to these men and women, and that he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. I think about those convincing proofs. I think about those men and women that he appeared to. And in some of those instances, it was a one-on-one. He came out and he approached someone as they were there and they were tearful and they were torn up. Where is the Messiah? Where is my Lord? He's not in the tomb. Where have you put him? And he shares one-on-one, Mary. Mary. And another time he shared with two. They were on the road and they too were downcast and they were headed back to a place called Emmaus, and they're walking along that road and they're kicking the dust and the stones that are there, and they're discouraged because of all that has happened in weeks past, and they're talking to one another and they're thinking, well, what does all of this mean? And then another gentleman joins with them on that road and begins to walk along. And he hears what they're talking about, and he says, what's going on? Why are you guys so down? What's happening? Well, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who doesn't know? You haven't heard? And they told him about the crucifixion. They told him about what the people had done and how those believers, those disciples, had been scattered. And then Jesus began to teach them from the prophets on about himself. And then he began to share some other things about recent events. And they listened, and as they walked along, it was as if their hearts were burning as they heard this, but they didn't yet know that this was the Messiah. And it was getting late, and, well, sir, would you come on in? Would you like to have supper with us? And they invited him into the home. And while they were seated at the table, and Jesus was there, and he reached out and he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks. And in that moment, it was as if scales were pulled from their eyes, and they looked at one another and they were amazed and they marveled that this is Jesus. He's alive. And he showed himself to the apostles. He showed himself to the disciples. And he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. And with others, it could have been threesies and foursies, but Jesus appeared over those 40 days, and literally hundreds of people saw Jesus. Hundreds of people witnessed it. Even that group of 100 or more who gathered in an upper place, and they were there also discouraged and afraid, and he appeared to them. And they saw suddenly Jesus stood before them. His physical body. He spoke to them. They heard his words. They understood. They began to put things that he had said before into perspective and understand how all of that fit together. And they rejoiced and they were full of happiness and just a great, great celebration. Well, Thomas didn't make it to that particular meeting. He was running late. Thomas showed up and he said, "You're all crazy. You know, we saw they crucified our Lord. We know that can't be. And unless I touch those nail scars in his hand, unless I put my hand in his side and feel where that spear thrust up into his body, unless I am able to do that, I can't believe." And then Jesus was there again, And he looked at Thomas in the eye and he said, "Thomas, come here. It is I. I am here. Go ahead, Thomas. Touch the scar. Thomas, take your hand and place it into the wound on my side." Thomas no longer doubted. On another occasion, there were some fishermen, and they'd been fishing all night long. And you know how that goes, fishermen. You go out and you fish and you fish and you catch nothing, and you're tired and you're frustrated, and now it's not as much fun as it started when you first put out into the water. And these men are in the boat, and they're throwing their nets over, and they're just worn out. And off on a distant shore, there's someone kneeling by a fire. And he's fixing some eggs and grits, and he's getting that all ready. Well, I wonder what he's doing. Well, and they're fishing. And then the fella stands up and he calls out to them, "Hey, guys, hey, fishermen, throw the net on the other side of the boat." Now tell me something, be honest. If you're out fishing and some guy on dry land is hollering out to you, "Throw your hook in over there. Don't do it there. Throw it over there." What goes through your mind? What a yo-yo. He's not even out here fishing. I'm the fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for hours. I've lost 12 lures already. I know exactly what I'm doing. But you know what? These fishermen in the boat, I imagine they were so tired by now and frustrated, they were ready to do anything. They would have jumped in and caught him with their teeth if he had told them to do that. So they take the net and they throw it in on the other side of the boat, and maybe with one of these, and the next thing you know, that net is so full of fish they can't haul it into the boat. And in an instant, Peter looks back to the shore to that guy by the campfire, and all of a sudden it dawns on him, that's Jesus. That is Jesus that just told me to do that. And the Bible says that he didn't even put his clothes on. Peter just dove into the water, and he swam straight to shore. He was so excited. And then the others came in and gathered around Jesus, and Jesus was fixing the breakfast, and he took some of those fish, and he took those grits, and he took those eggs, and he got them all together there, and he passed them out, and Jesus sat there and ate breakfast with those men. Many convincing proofs that he was alive. To hundreds and hundreds of people over this period of time. And on another occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, folks. I want you to stay right here." You hear me, Peter? Don't go in. Matthew, Thomas, you guys are going to stay right here in Jerusalem. Don't you go anywhere. I want you to wait here for the gift that my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about before. Because John baptized with water, but now in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Something different, something new. Remember when I said that when I go away, I'm going to send a comforter, I'm going to send someone to come and walk with you, I'm going to send someone to fill you and lead you and live with you day by day? So you stay here in Jerusalem. Don't you dare leave this place. Wait for the promise of the Father. Now, this is a diverse group of people. We have some who are well-educated. We have some who have worked for the government. We have some who were from a difficult background, broken families. We have some who are dumb as a rock. But they're all together. And they were not any different than you and I. And sometimes we have our own agendas and we have our own desires. And so here Jesus has shown them that he's alive and he's with them, and now he's telling them to stay in Jerusalem for this promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they're getting more excited every moment, and they know now that Jesus, for sure, he's going to set up his kingdom. So one of them cries out to him, "Well, Lord, does that mean that at this time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Oh, Lord, we've been waiting for that for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you're going to do that now, and we're part of it. You're here. You're alive. You're going to restore the kingdom, and we can reign with you, one on the right and one on the left, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to take care of these Romans. We're going to squash them, and we're going to get rid of them, and we're going to take these religious leaders who don't know a thing about God, but they like to play the games, and we're going to get rid of them, and it's going to be a bright new future, and we're going to set up kingdom on earth, and we're going to rule with you. Lord, at this time, are you going to set up, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? See, that probably would have been one of my questions. I would have been so caught up in what Steve wants, in Steve's comforts, in Steve ruling, in Steve getting all this kind of benefit. And Jesus looked at them and gave them an answer they were not ready for and didn't expect. He said, "Hey, gang, that's none of your business when the Father is going to do those things. You don't need to be concerned about dates and times, and you don't need to be concerned about what is under his control and his authority. But this is what you need to be concerned about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, and you'll be my witnesses even up in Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." When Jesus made this final statement, it was another day, and they had traveled from Jerusalem and gone across the valley a mile or two, and they were standing over at Bethany. They were there at Gethsemane. They were in that garden area. They were looking back, and I picture that it was late in the day, and I picture that people had already begun to light their lanterns and their candles, and as you looked across the valley back towards Jerusalem, you could see that glow of the city. And in this quiet place, in this garden where Jesus had gathered with his disciples, and when he shared with them that, listen, the thing for you to be concerned about is this, not dates and times and seasons and all of that. What you need to be concerned about is this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses. And you're going to be witnesses right there in Jerusalem. And you're going to tell them about me. You're going to tell them the message about the kingdom of God. You're going to tell them how they might have life eternal. They might have life abundant, just like you've experienced, that they might know God in a personal way. And you'll be my witnesses beyond there and to all of the province of Judea. And you'll go out to your friends' homes and you'll tell them the same message of Jesus Christ, of hope, of life. And you know what else? You're going to be my witnesses even into that untouchable land, even into Samaria, into those places where you call those people dirty and unclean and sinful and traitors. And you're going to be my witnesses even there because the Holy Spirit will make you my witnesses. And beyond Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. Now, 2,000 years ago, they didn't even know where the ends of the earth was at. They hadn't a clue. But Jesus knew. And Jesus knew that you would be here today on January 25th, 2009. And Jesus knew that you would know where the ends of the earth are. And Jesus knew. And so he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. You will testify of Jesus. You will share with others what Jesus Christ has done in your life personally. And you will do that in the land. And you will do that to a university campus that is right next door. And you will do that with older folks living in this community who can't get out or who are afraid to get out or who don't know someone. You will be my witnesses there. And you will be my witnesses in all of Volusia County. And people will know that when they meet you, because you are filled with the Spirit of God and because God has given you an intentional ministry here at First Baptist Church, they will know that surely you walk with Him. Because when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be His witnesses. Even across Florida, this nation, and today to the ends of the earth. God has a plan for us. He is waiting so much for us to obey. He is waiting for us to say, God in heaven, whatever it takes, I will obey you, I will honor you, and I will do that which will build up this body at First Baptist Church. I will do whatever it takes to encourage my brother and sister. I will do whatever I need to do to put a clamp on my tongue when that tongue sometimes is bitter and mean. I will go where you call me to go. I will speak to whom you call me to speak to. Because, Father in heaven, I love you and I desire to serve you, not me. Bow your heads, please. Father, we are so grateful for the testimony of this holy word today, where we read that when the Spirit comes upon us, that we shall receive power to be your witnesses. What a blessing! God, we know that you can do it without us, but you've chosen to do it with us. You've chosen to use these earthen vessels to reach out. And God, we confess that unless these vessels be emptied of self and selfishness, there's no way that you can fill us. So in this moment of quiet, speak to our hearts. Point out those areas of sin, those areas where we're holding back, those areas where we have been trying to serve our own selves rather than you. And God, raise up your people here. Oh, raise up your people, that we will be those witnesses to college students next door and folks all across the city and the elderly who struggle with all kinds of needs. That we might honor you, God alone, and everything that we do will be for the health and the good and the blessing of our brothers and sisters. And we'll ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to quietly stand together and turn to hymn number 502, Open My Eyes That I May See. Make that your prayer this morning. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see. Some of you may want to come down and pray at the altar. Pray for your church. Pray for me. Pray for those that are beside you. Others may want to make a public confession of some sort. You may want to, maybe you don't know Jesus yet. This is a time for you to come and do that, or join with this fellowship and say, you know what? I want to get on this thing too. I want to be in the middle of what God's doing. This is exciting. Hymn 502.
Cleanses of truth.
be seated for just a moment. Keith, come up here for a second. I appreciate Keith, one of the first folks that I got to know and meet here. One of those Christmas party get-together kinds of things. And Keith came this morning wanting to rededicate. I want to give him a chance just to share something with the congregation, just what's on your heart.
I don't know. Here lately, I've been so moved by your wonderful sermons and your love and the events that have happened in my life with losing Jenny this year just brought me a little nearer to the kingdom. So,
amen.
I'd like to rededicate myself as a Christian and to love this church and love the people. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We want to pray for one another. We that's our desire. That's our heart's desire. I want you to have a great week, and I hope that you can make it back tonight. Johnny, I'm going to let you... Okay. I'll do it then. But tonight we've got Dino coming. If you have tickets, get here at 5:30, please. And members, park over there, because some of the ones who will be coming, we're expecting a full house tonight. They won't know to park over there. So we'll let them come and park around the church on this side. But if you get here and you are a member, go ahead and park on that side in the field so that we have plenty of room. And also, if some of you want to get here a little early, the ushers won't mind it at all, because they're going to need help out here directing some of the cars around and then getting people into the building. So please, if you can help, just show up here a little early tonight and let one of the ushers out front know that you're a warm body ready to serve wherever. Let's stand together. Father, you are so good. We don't deserve your love. Thank you. We bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.